Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsy, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Eric Holmes.
I'm happy to be here. I'm present. I'm going to be present.
I neither asked, but I am excited that you're here. Let's keep this professional.
Yes.
In today's episode, a green-skinned shapeshifter with infinite animal forms and chaotic energy takes on a blue-furred genius and champion of mutant rights and a brain big enough to outthink most of the people in the Marvel Universe. In one corner, you have Beast Boy, a hyperactive, fun-loving hero who can transform into any creature imaginable, from house cat to T-Rex to microscopic virus. That's kind of crazy. And in the other corner, you have Beast, a brilliant mutant biochemist whose strength, speed, and strategic intellect makes him as dangerous in battle as he is in the lab. As usual, I do the patented Who'd Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. Yeah, you guessed it. This battle has been discussed, I don't know, probably a billion, possibly a trillion times thanks to ChatGPT. But here's the deal. It's never gotten the Who Would Win treatment until today, that is. You're welcome, Legion of Audience. Eric, I have to know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
No, this one is going to be a really close one. Like, there, in my opinion, it's a lot of similarities going on here, so it's going to be fun.
That's true. One character is kind of like a teenager and can transform into any animal they want, they can think of, and the other one is not.
Yeah. So this.
So do I see no similarities?
It's like almost the same.
it's right there.
Right.
It's like McDonald's and Burger King.
What's the name?
Beast.
And the other one?
Beast Boy.
Oh. Not similar.
Not similar at all.
Right, thank you.
I love that keen intellect you have and that je ne sais quoi you bring to these battles. You like that? That's French. I threw up my mouth when I did that, by the way. The facial expressions are selling it. All right. Let's see what our judge has to say about this, because making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's, I don't know how to put it, soccer master extraordinaire. It's social media superstar.
Yes.
It's the toast of LA. I mean, just walking around this guy, you feel like you're walking around with the mayor of LA.
There you go.
You know, in a good way.
A good mayor.
It's someone who maybe is the permanent judge of the Who Would Win show moving forward. What is happening here? Whoa. Making another appearance. It's the one, it's the only. It's Tadeo. Tadeo, welcome back to Who Would Win.
You know, I'm so excited to be here. When I roll up in here, it's like getting into the Coliseum at USC, 90,000 people. Ooh. Feeling that level of energy. Ooh. You know, it's when you go to see LeBron, when they invite me on the court. I mean, I have to dunk on him or warm him up. I don't dunk on LeBron. But this level of excitement. So all you out there, let's get me as a permanent judge. So I'm going to need you to talk, send some DMs, put some messages in the notes. I need the job. I want the job.
Well, listen, I went to the production team, the board of directors, so to speak, for Who Would Win, and I just kind of said, you know, we've had a lot of great judges on this show. Mm-hmm. I mean, in every iteration, there's been some great judges. But I said, there's certain judges that really stand out and bring that energy, take this, you know, these battles very seriously, and that's what's so important, is that you come to this, and you're like, I got it. These are cartoon characters or video game character or whatever it is, but to me, they're here, they're doing battle right now. I need to take this seriously. There's nothing more important than what's happening right now. Yes. That to me is the greatness of you as a judge. And I'm not just saying that because you're about to judge this battle.
Well, some brownie points. And just if you didn't see, let me at 20. By the way, I only take 100.
That's like $1.50.
Ooh, that's okay. You're in the hole right now.
Good.
But no, everything, this is total immersion. When we're in this room, we're in the universe. Marvel, DC, Capcom, whatever it may be, we're there.
I love it. I love it. Now, with that being said, you know, to be the permanent judge of who would win, my fingers are crossed, by the way, I'm hoping that actually happens.
Yes.
That's a huge responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You're also going to, pardon my language, kids, piss off a lot of people who have approached me over the years saying, I'd like to be the permanent judge for who would win. And I was like, no, not going to happen. But for some reason, I'm feeling this. Eric was, you know, you came to the show thanks to Eric, and I don't like saying this, but that was like a stroke of genius from Eric.
Appreciate
it. Thanks for
don't expect another for quite some time, by the way.
I'll take it.
But man, you established yourself in the first episode. You've been back a number of times. I'm actually feeling this. I'd actually like to see it happen. Legion of Audience, tell us what you think. What are your thoughts on today's battle, by the way?
Well, so I'm ecstatic about the battle. We got blue versus green, man versus boy. So it's kind of like a dad versus son. You know what I mean? That type of vibes. And then also green versus blue. That's kind of like my flag in Brazil. You know, I love the USA and I'll never want to leave. But my native flag. So I'm just feeling a lot of great energy. Mm. And it's also, you know, I work with teenagers. So teenagers might not be using their minds much as Beast Boy. I don't know. We're going to learn more. I'll save that for Eric. But the Beast is a savage when it comes to intelligence. So, you know, we're going to get a little parody. We got extremes right here.
You know, that's what I love. You said the Beast is a savage when it comes to intelligence.
Yes.
I mean, only Tadeo could come up with that. Eric, I was expecting that same level of greatness from you. Didn't happen, by the way.
Of course not. Thankfully, Tadeo's here. Beast. I am rapping Beast Boy.
Beast Boy.
Yeah.
Are you feeling Beast Boy, like, right now? Like, you're channeling Beast Boy? Like, because you're when we kind of talked about this battle initially, you're like, oh, I got this. You were, like, so confident. I'm like, really? What's going on right now? No. Without revealing too much.
So just what Tadeo touched on, it's like Beast is Beast, you know, but it's like Beast Boy has found what Beast was like drinking. Like, it's like, oh, he found his dad's protein, you know. So now he's like drinking the same stuff, but he's like even more wilder than the other guy. So I feel that Beast will not be able to keep up with what Beast Boy is like. He already knows how to do it. He's seen what Beast has done, but now he's found like his kryptonite, if you will.
God, I have no idea what you just said whatsoever.
That's why I said it.
but Eric, we've established this too. You're kind of a high level thinker. I'm playing catch up all the time.
Let's do it.
This is some like Shakespearean, you know, art of war stuff you just said. Because I'm not a dumb guy, by the way. I couldn't follow a whole lot of what you were saying. But hopefully I can keep up.
Hopefully someone did.
Well,
I'm just saying, it's like Beast has been Beast. You got Beast Boy, and it's like, oh damn, son's found my protein jug. Now he can do what I'm doing. And what the hell is this? How am I going to combat this? That's what I mean.
I mean, if I had a dollar for every time that happened, exactly what I'd have no dollars whatsoever. But, you know, maybe I'll get a dollar today. We'll figure this out.
Figure it out.
All right, now listen, we got to get to today's battle. But before we do, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, the bottom line to Who Would Win match is that for one side to get the win, their opponent must be somehow incapacitated for a minimum of 2 minutes where they pose no threat whatsoever. Now, before we get started, I actually have a special shout out to this company who treated me and my family like gold at San Diego Comic-Con.
Beautiful.
I'm just going to pull this up real quick. So long story short, Comic-Con a couple years ago, this great company was selling these, they got a license with LucasArts and what have you, and they were able to sell these great custom-made posters for like cool aspects of Star Wars, and they had a Sabine Wren poster. Wren being this great character from, you know, Rebels, and then Ahsoka and what have you. And I'm like, this is perfect for one of my kids. We got it. It was a limited edition. The fires hit in the Palisades, and unfortunately, that went away. No problem, because good news. Huh. I found this company again at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, I should say, this past summer. I bought this great Darth Vader poster, which you'll see in my office shortly, Eric, if you're lucky enough to see it. And they said, oh, we have a Sabine Wren poster. I explained what happened. I said, I'd love to buy it. They're like, no, you're not buying it. We're sending it to you.
Wow.
And they just said, and they sent it to my address, made sure that my kid had it. We're putting it up. And I just wanted to give them a special little shout out, because they treated me like gold when they didn't have to.
Incredible.
Absolutely not. So it is, real quick, Trends International. They are the leading publisher and manufacturer of licensed posters posters, calendars, stickers, and stationery. They absolutely bring the world's most popular brands and characters to fans everywhere, which they did for me and one of my kids. One of their favorite projects was illustrating the Sabine Wren poster for San Diego Comic-Con 2023. That is the one they did for my kid that they replaced it. You know, they just gave me a gift, cool. And I can never say thank you enough.
Wow.
Check out trendsinternational.com and check out andrewswitzerdesign.com. That's Andrew, SWITZER design.com, to check out some insane posters you need for your office and your home. I'm sorry, it's a personal plug. They are awesome. Yep. And please check them out. Incredible. Because I love dealing with superheroes, and that's what they are.
And good people.
Good, very good people. Mm-hmm. All right, now let's get into the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Eric, please give us the details for Beast Boy.
Beast Boy is the shape-shifting, green-skinned heart of the Teen Titans. Part comic relief, part chaotic battlefield wildcard. Thanks to a rare virus and some sci-fi treatment gone weird, Beast Boy can literally transform into any animal that has ever existed, including prehistoric creatures and alien beasts. Whether he's a gorilla for brute force, a falcon for aerial combat, or a T-Rex just for the drama, Beast Boy brings up unpredictability to every fight. While he jokes, sings, and eats like a teenager, which teenagers can eat quite a bit and drink a lot of protein, like I was saying, with no supervision, of course, he's also taking down alien armies, supervillains, and giant robots with pure creativity and relentless energy. He's basically Animal Planet with ADHD, and somehow it works.
That's okay. Wait, I got a quick question. So, can Beast Boy come up, like, if it's a mythological creature, like a dragon or something, mm-hmm. and you can see it, like, mm-hmm. if he thinks of Smaug or something like that from, you know, Lord mm-hmm. of the Rings trilogy, or the Hobbit or what have you, can he actually be that creature, or does it have to be a real creature that existed?
A real creature.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Cool. I actually gave you an opening there. I wanted to see where you took it. That is the honesty, the honor of Eric Holmes.
I want nothing from you.
Like, not even like a belt in jiu-jitsu or anything?
Well, that's a different discussion.
No, totally. You said it.
I don't need you.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, I get that for my kids. Now I get it here. This is crazy. Well done, Eric. Here are the facts for Beast. Don't let the blue fur fool you. Beast is one of the most refined, respected, and ridiculously able, strong brains in the Marvel Universe. A founding member of the X-Men, Hank McCoy, combines superhuman strength, speed, agility, and senses with a world-class intellect that's built weapons, cured pandemics, and argued metaphysics mid-battle. He quotes Shakespeare, does differential equations in his head, and has flipped full-grown sentinels. Those are those giant mutant-hunting robots that are like King Kong size, and fold them like they were nothing. Whether he's fighting alongside the Avengers, hanging, or the X-Men, hanging upside down from a chandelier, or giving a TED talk during a bar brawl, something I've done a couple of times, Beast is a powerhouse of brains, brawn, and beast mode brilliance. Yeah, I said it. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Tadeo, do you have any questions before we get started?
I sure do. So, how was Beast discovered? How did he end up in the X-Men universe?
Well, you know, he was being hired as a clown for parties on Craigslist, and Professor X is like, I need a really cool ass clown. So he was one of the original X-Men that Charles Xavier kind of found, you know, all of this group of teenagers, him, it was Cyclops, Iceman, Angel, and Jean Grey, I believe. And so he's one of the originals. And this is before he had the blue fur. Ooh. He had a secondary mutation, and then the blue fur came, and he became kind of like what we see as the Beast. Yeah, that's right. That's why my wife, again, questions her life decisions, because her life choices, because I know this kind of stuff.
Well, that gained a lot of brownie points, to be honest with you. An original X-Men. That says
imagine
something.
What he has seen.
But then I also wanted, this is exciting, Beast Boy, a teenager. The ravens, the chaos of a teenage mind with muscles and the ability to become anything. I like a gorilla. 300-pound gorilla?
Bigger.
Oh, okay. No, Eric stated bigger.
Okay.
Hey, I don't discriminate.
I have seen the pictures.
A man has
I have seen the pictures.
I wish some of the women in Canada were only 300 pounds, but they slim down sometimes.
Yeah. So no, that's so I just think it's incredible. We have an original, an OG, right? When we got somebody just starting their life off, a teen, a wild, brash, brazen teen.
Yep. Well, I will tell you this. What's interesting about Beast Boy, too, is that the Teen Titans was not his first team. He was actually part of another team called the Doom Patrol.
Way back when. Okay.
Right? And the only reason I'm saying that is because a lot of people say, well, it's teenager, even if they're 18, versus this adult, you know, who has all this life experience. It's comic book timelines, right? So there's a lot of experience for, you know, just in the spirit of Eric Holmes here. Mm-hmm. He was part of the Doom Patrol and then became part of Teen Titans later.
So okay, so he's a young G. So we got an OG versus a young G.
He's like Benjamin Button, pretty much.
Okay.
Eric, go ahead and hit us with your point number one.
I got you, James. First, for my point number one, I want to get into ultimate battlefield flexibility, all right? This is going to lay the platform for you, Tadeo. Here we go. So Beast Boy's power is unmatched in versatility, all right? He can transform into any animal that's ever existed, from prehistoric giants to alien beasts. He has leveraged this ability in battle to become a T-Rex, a swarm. These are just a few examples, okay? Just a few. A T-Rex, a swarm of bees, a whale, a falcon, and even a microscopic virus capable of infiltrating an enemy's body, all right? Make a note of that. His transformations are instantaneous. He can do it mid-air, mid-fight, or even mid-sentence, making him completely unpredictable and impossible to contain. Against Beast, Beast Boy wins by overwhelming him with a constant barrage of rapid transformations and attacks from land, sea, and sky. And all that is my point number one.
Now, this is the fun part because, yeah, everything you said is true. But when he attacks as a virus, the virus is going to take way more than 2 minutes to take effect, right? It's kind of like, ha, I'm COVID. Just got you. You're like, awesome. I'm going to feel you maybe next week or in 10 days. And then even then it's like, hey, I can't taste or smell. You can still fight. You can fight when you're on COVID is all I'm trying to say.
Well, listen, don't forget about stomach viruses. When you had that curry at that little shop that they warned you about, that stomach virus could take place right away.
By the way, so worth it. So worth it. I'd go back. No, yeah, we should go back. We should absolutely go back.
I'm not going back there.
That's horrible. But what I'm trying to say is, like, not every transformation is as fantastic. You know, the other one, like, he can be a swarm of bees, but he can't be a swarm of T-Rexes, by the way. I just thought that would be really cool. But he can be big, small, whatever. And as Eric said, I will absolutely give him the fact that he's very imaginative. And he's got experience. So he's like, he's not just like, I'll transform into a whale while he's like in a parking lot. Like exactly. He actually understands how to use it combatively. So I do respect the heck out of what this character is bringing to the table. With that being said, not all the transformations are as effective as others, right? And he often makes a lot of mistakes because he's creative, but he's not always tactical. He's not known to be the most tactical, right? He can be a good fighter, but he makes a lot like, hey, I'm going to be like a bug. And you're like, awesome. You know, that didn't work out so well. What happened? Just putting that out there. Okay, let me get to my point number one. For my point number one, for Beast, I want to talk about, you know, just superior strategy, superhuman strength, combat IQ, or fight IQ, if you will. Now, look, Beast, he may not transform, but he doesn't need to, okay? He's got this combination of super strength, agility, fighting skill. This makes him an insane brawler and a really good tactician. And you know what's crazy? You know, Eric gave me the greatest compliment, as he often does during jiu-jitsu class when I'm teaching. He's like, I'm just not used to someone who's that strong and that smart. Now, he's actually never said that with his mouth, but his eyes communicate that all the time. And I accept that compliment, Eric. Thank you very much. Beast.
What?
I'm just saying what you're...
I'm trying to avoid his eye contact because he keeps looking at me all the time. Continue, James.
I will. Beast has held his own or actually won against Wolverine, Juggernaut, Sabretooth, more on that later. And even this character named Wonder Man, who's going to have, I believe, his Marvel series coming out soon. Wonder Man is kind of like a Superman type, but he's based off of energy, whatever. Beast knows how to be very, very versatile, and he always fights way above his weight class. In fact, he's comfortable. It's almost like he prefers people to be way more powerful than him because then he enjoys the intellectual challenge. Like, well, how do I overcome this? And he also thinks at super speed. That's what people don't understand. I actually think that high IQ is a superpower. And people say, I can, you know, pick up a car. That's awesome. Where someone's like, hey, I can, you know, play five chess matches at the same time. I actually think that's a superpower. I do believe he's got super high IQ. And on top of that, he's got great super experience with all of his fighting. Look, this is someone who also uses his surroundings like a jungle gym. This is someone who's kind of, I'll just say it, at least Spider-Man-like in terms of the super agility, wall flips, drop kicks, acrobatic takedowns. These are all just standard things he does, right? If he's just playing with someone, never mind if he wants to take the fight seriously. On top of that, like a lot of really smart people, might take him a second or two, but he's got a mean streak. And that's the problem. When you get someone who's really smart and is really capable, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, really? That's what you're going to do? The philosopher, the intellect turns into the warrior tactician. That's Beast right then and there. Look, Beast is going to win. He's going to anticipate Beast Boy's patterns. This is not going to be hard for him to figure out, like, oh, got it. You transform into different animals. Understood. Now I know my strategy. Look, he's going to use brains, brawn. He's going to dismantle him mid-transformation. Remember, Beast has fought alongside and against shapeshifters a lot in the Marvel Universe. This is not going to be a surprise for him in terms of what Beast Boy can do. That's my point number one.
Wow. Okay. So you have started off with, you know, propping up Beast as a tactician, a combatant, and everything, which I will give you that. He is a lot of those things. Yes. But one thing I got to say, with all of that IQ as a tactician, a combatant, it means nothing. And as a strategist, it means nothing if he can't hit what he's fighting. Beast Boy doesn't have patterns, okay? He can disappear as a flea, blindside you as a hawk, crash down on you as a whale in the blink of an eye. Beast thrives on reading opponents, but Beast Boy thrives on being unpredictable. Even if Beast anticipates one form, Beast Boy can switch a dozen more before contact. Strategy will collapse when the battlefield itself is in flux, and Beast Boy controls the chaos.
Ooh, I like those points. That's pretty cool. Well said, by the way. Okay, let's take it to the judge today. You've heard one point from both Eric and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Well, you know, the sheer utter chaos that Beast Boy is bringing is incredible. But, you know, it's kind of like parenting, right? The best parent doesn't know what their kid's doing. As good as we think we are, especially if you have a daughter, she's probably doing what you hope she's not doing. And your son's totally running over and taking the keys when you go to sleep. So I'm very impressed with the intellectual capacity of Beast and also the muscles to match, right? But the versatility of a teenager and their ability to switch on you, just when you think you got them, they become something totally different, right? This is a tight one, but I'm going to go with, so far, I think I'm liking the chaos, the unpredictability, and the barrage of transformations over the intellect.
Interesting. That is true. Whenever my kids are doing something a little crazy, as smart as I think I am often caught by surprise, but ultimately, I'm stronger than they are, so I can take over. All right, listen.
If you're not sleeping.
Yeah, guess what? When you become a parent, you're not sleeping anymore. That's
one eye open.
Yeah, the whole time. All right, we heard it, but let's see what's about to happen. Stay tuned for point number two.
Hey, everybody. This is Ray from Who Would Win Masters, and I know that regardless if you're part of the Legion of Audience, Rainiacs, or even a Crit Master, you take your online privacy seriously. And if you haven't been doing that, I want to take a moment to talk to you about NordVPN, who helped sponsor this episode. I personally use NordVPN when I want to watch stuff that's streaming not in my region. That's why I got the service. I recently watched an AEW pay-per-view event that I was not able to stream here in Los Angeles. How did I do it? I used NordVPN to change my digital location. It was really easy to do, and it worked brilliantly. I wouldn't be talking about NordVPN if I didn't use it myself. Anyway, I just found out through this ad campaign that NordVPN did a collab with Marvel Comics to make a digital motion comic called The Only Certainty Is Change that features the Avengers. And I'll be honest, I thought it was some good fun. I got a big laugh when Tony Stark realized that he done messed up by connecting his Iron Man suit to a network without using a VPN. All right. I thought that was fun. Gold, honestly. But you can check out this full comic yourself no matter where you are in the world by switching your virtual location with NordVPN. We love Marvel heroes everywhere, but you can be a hero to your whole family by protecting them digitally with NordVPN. NordVPN protects your private data, passwords, and online identity from all those villains online. You know who they are. You can take advantage of the exclusive NordVPN deal right now at https://nordvpn.com/whowouldwin. Try risk-free with our 30-day money-back guarantee. You'll find the link in the description. Go check out that comic. It's a hoot.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back. Eric, hit us with your point number two.
Next, I want to get into Beast Boy's speed and stealth through his forms of manipulation, okay? So his versatility literally extends far beyond raw power. Let's get into speed, okay? He can become a cheetah, like I said, a hawk, a tiny little fast insect. It goes on and on. This all gives him the ability to dodge attacks, execute sneak strikes, or vanish entirely from sight. He has used his speed forms to escape even black holes. He did his stealth forms to infiltrate heavily guarded enemy bases. In battle, Beast Boy can disappear mid-fight, reappearing in an opponent's blind spot as a bat, bug, or mouse. Against Beast, he wins, I feel, by exploiting angles that are impossible to defend while staying in constant motion, making him untouchable and impossible to pin down. All that, James, is my point number two.
All right, interesting points. Like, escaping black holes and all that, I think that was a one-off. I wouldn't actually throw that in there. Like, hey, I'll escape a black hole by turning into a whale or Tyrannosaurus or a bug. Doesn't really
maybe
track.
As a virus?
As a virus? As a virus? You know what doesn't? You know what COVID didn't escape? Scrutiny and black holes. All right, so I'm just going to call, I think that's a one-off. I wouldn't say he's so powerful he can escape a black hole. On top of that, you know, you're talking about Beast, right? Who has to train with people like Wolverine, who, by the way, is kind of a stickler for being able to fight really, really well and know what you're doing. Never mind, you know, Charles Xavier doing the same thing, and I'll get into that more. He has, you know, X-Men are highly underrated as fighters. There's a great storyline, I think it was with Rogue, who found herself to be depowered. And everyone was like, huh, what are you going to do now? And against a group of, like, I think it was like six guys, she absolutely beat them all horribly just as a regular human being because of the training they got. And the moment they get the powers, they combatively know how to use their powers really, really well. That's Beast as well. They are trained. They're training nonstop at super high levels. I'll get into that in a second. But let me get to my point number two for this one. From point number two, let's talk about superhuman level speed, acrobatics, and again, martial arts techniques, which is really, really cool. Okay. Beast has run at speeds exceeding 60 miles per hour. He's easily dodged energy blasts, gunfire. He's leapt 30 feet up in the air while fighting because that's just a fun thing for him to do. He's trained with Wolverine and Cyclops. He knows multiple martial arts, and he's also adapted these martial arts into his own personal style. Now, the way I kind of look at it, Spider-Man has his own fighting style, right? And Shang-Chi was like, hey, I'm going to show you some cool techniques, and then you're going to adapt them into how you naturally move, so they just are enhanced greatly to your personal style. That's what's been going on for Beast for decades. So he hasn't just learned how to fight. He's not just someone who's a good boxer. He's someone who knows how to box and punch and kick and do whatever while he's flipping all over the place using his mutant powers and his natural abilities and his intellect. He's fought telepaths, robots, clones of himself. He's actually beaten evil clones or evil versions of himself who are insanely well trained because he likes to outthink everybody, and he loves to be underestimated. Here's the thing. He's a big, huge, strong, hulking kind of creature, but still, Beast Boy would be like, oh, I'm from the DC Universe. That's nothing. I've got this. He will be underestimated by Beast Boy because Beast Boy will transform once. Guess what happens? Beast Boy understands exactly, or Beast understands what he's fighting. Beast Boy looks at Beast, and he's like, I'm not really sure what's happening here. I get it. You're strong. You look scary. He's not going to understand how smart or tactical Beast is. You don't really look at someone and be able to tell that. Although I did look at Eric, and I'm like, that's a smart guy right there. So, you know, you never know. By the way, Beast isn't just fast. He's fast with control. He can grapple and strike precisely while calculating multiple threats at once. This is documented. This is someone who loves being in situations where I have no idea what's about to happen to me. I'm up for the challenge, and I'll figure this out, and I'll think about it at high speed and figure it out. I mentioned before, Beast has fought for years in the X-Men's Danger Room. Now, the Danger Room is the world's greatest fighting simulation. They use advanced alien tech from the Shi'ar Empire. Yeah, I know. I just watched the X-Men series again from the 90s with my kids. Awesome. Shi'ar Empire is the whole thing. Anyway, so they take this advanced tech from different planets and the advanced tech that they have access to on the planet on Earth, and they create this, like, you know, kind of like Star Trek style, you know, fighting room, whatever, except way worse, and it has levels. And Beast has been on the top level of coming up and figuring out how to fight against everything, and they have no mercy for the people, the X-Men, once they're in there, once that Danger Room starts going. It's gone awry a couple of times, and Beast has survived it all. That's what he's been training again, or that's his training for like decades. Never mind what he's been training with. On top of that, look, the real deal is he's going to win by baiting Beast Boy into predictable forms and countering them with skill and timing. Look, you're talking about a master chess player, right? Eric, we were talking about jiu-jitsu being high-speed chess, right?
Yes.
That's what Beast does. He's like thinking this is high-speed chess, except with like super-powered opponents. And as he's reciting Shakespeare or listening to them or figuring them out, he's already five moves ahead, luring them into a trap or figuring out a plan to kind of take advantage of, like, maybe not a weakness, but them not understanding what they're doing. He's also good at making people talk. So people are going to be talking at him, occupying what they're thinking as Beast kind of like is figuring out that strategy. I got a great example of that, but I'll say that for my point number three, because all of this is my point number two.
Okay. So back to this though, I'm saying he's a very calculated guy, Beast, and a planner. Okay. And he has a lot of speed, excessive amount of martial arts experience and everything. Very impressive. But I want to go back to the fact that even you said, hopefully he'll, you know, slow him down, get him reading. And he really likes to, you know, set it up, right? He's all about the setup and training and more controlled environments. Beast, okay? So Beast Boy thrives in chaos, okay? Beast Boy is chaotic, where timing and precision fail. He literally improvises attacks. He adapts. He also uses the environment in ways that Beast can't predict. No matter how controlled Beast movements are and how he sets you up, Beast Boy turns the battlefield into a trap, okay? Forcing even a tactical genius to react instead of dictate.
Interesting. All right. I'm not sure I agree with everything you just said, but it's not up to me, is it? Because we're at the turning point. This is where the judge, Tadeo, tells us, who do you think is ahead in this fight, and what does the other side have to do to gain the victory?
Well, you know, we're going to the tail of the cards right now, and it's 1-1. And I'll tell you why. The Charles Xavier training method is something that I don't think there's any situation that he hasn't seen. You know, because he can project what throughout infinitely in the universe and see it all. So, you know, I'm impressed with the speed and the stealth manner of Beast Boy and his traps, but I don't think that Beast will fall prey to a lot of those. So it's, and I like something that you said, it's like chess, not checkers. Mm. So that, you know, I don't remember what movie that's from, but this is
a lot now.
It's a lot, a lot now, but this battle is literally that. So we have a chess master in Beast and the aggressive checkers player in Beast Boy, you know, becoming a chess player.
Who's been taking chess classes every day after school, during school.
You know, so I'm, you know.
He is Bobby Fischer. He's becoming Bobby Fischer.
Okay, but so the colored Bobby Fischer, right?
There you go.
But what I have to say is who determines who's going to win where I'm at? I need to know what strategy is going to be implemented. Like I want to get a little idea of where you see the battle going. Because I've already seen this battle play out for two rounds. You know what I mean? And back in the corners, y'all are about even. So I want to see what is going to happen outside of the danger room. So take it to the real world. And then, you know, we'll see if you can improv your way out of this one to a victory.
Perfect.
That's I like how we're going to improv our way. All right, we need a place. Starbucks. Okay, what's the situation? Okay.
Yes, Starbucks it is. Yes. Okay.
All right, this is going to be interesting because you didn't really say who was ahead and what this side had to do to win. You just said both sides are tied. Here's what I need to see. This is the greatness of Tadeo as a judge, by the way.
Yes. I like it.
This may be why he may become the permanent judge of the Who Would Win show. We'll see.
He makes a step up.
Hey, that's right. This battle's heating up. Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Eric is now or never. Here's your point number three.
I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it in a way that will let Tadeo know that I heard what he needed to hear. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know he wants to see how Beast Boy is going to bring it home. He wants to know what's going to happen, how it's going to be done. All right. And I'm going to bring you into some logic, what the young Beast Boy is going to use. Okay. His IQ is current. He's been taking all these current coding classes. All right. He's still learning. Okay. So this is how he's going to do it, Tadeo. Hear me out. So listen. Beast Boy's powers are amplified by Tune Force Energy. All right, I'm setting it up. Allowing him to survive being flattened, exploded, or zapped without sustaining long-term damage. His fighting style is unpredictable as it is effective, often disorienting serious opponents with nonsense until it becomes a strategic advantage. In one instance, He distracted an entire alien army by transforming into a little kid. All right? This is just some fun stuff that he can do. Only to dropkick their commander moments later as a rhino. Against Beast, this is how he's going to win, Tadeo. He wins by turning the battlefield into a chaotic, live-action Animal Planet scenario. All right, I know there's some stuff going in your head now. You're picturing this because I know you watch a lot of Animal Planet. All right, but think of it as a very chaotic Animal Planet. So he will literally leave his opponent completely disoriented and unsure which form will strike next, and all that is my point number three.
All right, I got to call, some BS on this. Like, he drop kicked.
No, try it. Try
sure,
it.
I will. He drop kicked his opponent as a rhino. Just picture a rhino. You think a rhino is going to like jump up in the air and somehow turn midair and use its back legs to drop kick?
Have you not seen them charge jeeps in like safaris or
yeah,
like
I've seen them charge all the time. You know what they didn't do? Drop kick us a jeep. They didn't drop kick.
Have you not seen Ace Ventura: Pet Detective?
I have. I also did not see a rhino jump up in the air and drop kick. I know it's semantics. Here's the thing. Also, you accused of Tadeo of being a huge animal. You know, he watched a lot of Animal Planet. I think Tadeo has better things to do than just watch Animal Planet. Maybe he's judging the Who Would Win show, for example. Anyway, my whole point is this. I think Beast Boy is awesome and unpredictable. And if you don't know how someone who can change shape that quickly at will during a battle and how they can use it combatively, you are at a massive disadvantage against a character like that. I can't disagree with any of that. Thankfully, that's not Beast. So for my point number three, let's talk about why that's not the case. Now, before I get into it, there's a character that a lot of people are familiar with from the X-Men animated series called Morph. Now, Morph is a changeling, mm-hmm. and Morph can change into whatever Morph wants to change into. He typically changes into different superpowered beings. He's changed into the Hulk, into Angel with the Wings, into Gambit, Quicksilver, the super speed person. He can also change into animals, creatures, Deadpool, whatever he wants, he can do it. And guess who he was a teammate of for a long time, at least in the cartoon? That was Beast. And Beast has to analyze everyone's powers and combat capability because guess who helps to design the scenarios in the Danger Room? Beast. So he has to figure out how do these characters lose and what have you. Now, Morph actually became a real character in the same X-Men universe or 616 universe that Beast is in because he was such a powerful, popular character from the X-Men animated series and what have you. So Beast understands all of Beast Boy's tactics, abilities, and what have you, except he doesn't, Beast Boy is limited to changing into any creature that happens to be green. Right. Or whatever he changes into is still a green colored creature, just like he is. Right. As a human, except Morph can change into anything. He's truly like more of a chameleon than Morph is. By the way, Beast has already dealt with other people called the Chameleon. Right. Another character from Marvel Comics. This is someone who's not really unfamiliar with. Oh, my God, you can transform into anything. This is crazy. Now, on top of all that, Beast just isn't smart. He's world class. He's probably in the top 10, top 15 most brilliant minds in the Marvel Universe. Like, that's Tony Stark. That's Dr. Doom. That's Mr. Fantastic. That he's in that club, by the way, of the most ingenious, smart people in the world, which means his powers of observation are also insanely smart. He's going to figure out Beast Boy within seconds. Again, Beast Boy is not really going to understand what Beast can do until it's too late. Here's the other thing, too. While he's doing all fighting all this and he's trying to figure someone out, he's analyzed aliens' DNA on the fly. He created anti-mutant vaccines in a pinch while he's fighting. He's disarmed bombs while upside down at high speed. This is someone who operates under pressure beautifully, under chaos and chaotic environments. This is what he loves to do. He's single-handedly beaten giant robots, evil versions of himself. I mentioned the shapeshifters. He even has a victory over the Juggernaut. And this is ridiculous. When you have a Hulk-class opponent who can come at you full speed, nothing can hurt him. He's like, got it. I've got to stop the Juggernaut. How do I do that? So real quick, all he did is he played around, played hit and run, would hit him, get out of the range, what have you. Juggernaut's coming after him. Made sure he couldn't be touched. Juggernaut was coming at him. Nothing can stop the Juggernaut. And of course, the Beast is like, got it. I don't need to stop him to beat him. So he brought him up over this ledge of soft earth or soft dirt, whatever, and he knew the weight of the Juggernaut would make him fall through and go all the way down to the ocean and fall all the way to the bottom of the ocean floor. And that's what he did. He has an official win over the Juggernaut because he used his mind to lure him to trap. Juggernaut's not stupid, by the way. That's Charles Xavier's stepbrother, I believe, or whatever, or half-brother, one of the two. But he fell into a trap, which he normally doesn't do. Look, this is how he's going to win. He's going to outthink Beast Boy. He's going to predict his forms of choices because that's what he can do. He can figure it out. And he's going to target them with surgical precision, lead them into a trap, get them to talk, because again, he's got experience with shapeshifters, just shapeshifters who can do it a lot better. That's my point number three.
Okay. This was good. So I want to touch on some of those points that you made. So I like the fact that you mentioned how important it was for him to deal with a person who could shapeshift and be whatever they want. It was so important that he had to train with Morph and a Chameleon, right? And then you said that Juggernaut's so powerful, such a valid opponent that he took him out by going into the ocean. But guess what? Beast Boy can be a whale and he'll be fine in the ocean. Okay, so I like the things you mentioned. So I think it also plays to what Beast Boy can do. It was so important that he had to train with these type factors and skill sets that these other people have, so he can know how to battle other combatants. Right. So with that, once again, Beast's intellect is impressive. Okay, but Beast Boy doesn't follow rules or logic. Like I said before, he creates them on the fly. Even if Beast predicts one weakness, Beast Boy improvises instantly, okay? Using the battlefield timing, absurdity to stay one step ahead of Beast. That's one thing I'm saying. I feel with him being able to be one step ahead of Beast, I feel that that's going to cause Beast to not be able to properly use all his other skill sets, his martial arts, and all his tactical abilities, okay? So, knowledge of biology also can't stop a microscopic virus. Okay, that's another thing, like we said, that Beast Boy can become. Literally, it could be a virus inside your ear or a tidal wave of insects from every direction. Beast may plan, but Beast Boy thrives where planning fails. And that is my rebuttal to your last point there, James.
I like that last thing you just said. That's very cool. Very, very poetic and deep. But that may not matter because we have to take this to the judge. Today, you've heard 3 points from both Eric and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and tell us who wins this battle between Beast and Beast Boy.
Yeah, it was actually pretty joyous to see this battle play out in my mind, right? So, you know, I immediately see Beast Boy charging rambunctiously, like without tact, because he's a teenager, at Beast. So he's coming at him as a rhino, right? And he rams Beast, and that throws Beast back. Beast is a little shocked, but he retreats a bit. He's preparing himself. Then Beast Boy becomes a gorilla, 300-pound gorilla, silverback gorilla, right? Oof. And attacking Beast, but Beast is doing some jiu-jitsu dodging, like Gracie, right? He's dodging left and right. And here's where it shifts a little. We're going to the king of all kids' animals is the T-Rex. So to go in for the fatal blow, Beast Boy is the T-Rex. And he's you know, on the prowl to finish Beast off, to render him, incapacitated for 2 minutes. But IQ over chaos. So as the T-Rex lunges, being Beast Boy, there's some soft dirt. It covered up the grass. He has a grass with a hole in it. We've all seen this in comics. But underneath, it's like a hyperbaric chamber. So it's a different type of terrain where no animal is effective. So using his IQ and just seeing infinite possibilities as Beast Boy is falling into this trap, into this unknown domain under the soft dirt, he turns it around and uses his savage strength, right? And he gives a brutal reverse gorilla pounding the chest punch to Beast Boy and renders him unconscious for 2 minutes. And it's something, it's an epic display of intelligence and strength on the improv. And that's what IQ can sometimes do, is it defeats even the craziest of teenagers. I'm sure you've had to deal with that in my house. I deal with it at school with all these 6'7", 6'9" giants that I train. My brain always wins in the long run. And in this case, it's the Beast and the X-Men training from Charles Xavier and the improv that defeated Beast Boy. And that's how this tale of who would win would actually end.
And there you have it, a close battle. Eric is not liking this whatsoever. I think he's transforming into, what is it, like a vaccine or something, or what, or micro dosing of something. I don't know, whatever it is.
Is he going to give me a cold?
Microaggression, I don't know. My whole point is, I got the win. I actually do think this is a great, I understand 100% where you're saying from this. I do think that Beast Boy, if Beast Boy is in control, or at least aware of what's happening, he can transform from one thing to another super, super fast, use a combat incredibly. But the thing is, if you catch him off guard, he's falling as a Tyrannosaurus. He kind of has to kind of reclaim himself and kind of get his bearings before he transforms again, right? And during that split second, that's where the beast, superpowered, this guy can lift probably 5 to 10 tons, hit insanely hard, uses his super agility, super speed, and drop kicks him the same way that Eric said a rhino drop kicked that Jeep that Beast Boy was doing. I actually agree with this outcome 100%. But with that being said, Eric, great job today. You are not liking this whatsoever. Tell Legion Bodies, our fan base, what you're thinking right now.
Okay, I feel even that scenario that Tadeo created, I feel that Beast Boy could still get out of that. But I will say one thing, though. I like Beast, of course, you know, no doubt, X-Men, everything. And Boy is in the name, so Beast is still a boy, and he's not fully just Beast yet. So, yeah, I feel it was a close battle, like I said in the beginning. I said there are some similarities. All right, I did say that. And, yeah, it's just didn't work out in my favor on this one.
That's okay. Yeah, I will give you this. If you had equal fighting experience, like they're both like 35-year-old dudes who each have like 20 years of fighting experience, I do think Beast Boy would get the win, but that's not the case right here and there. But it doesn't matter because I got the win, Eric, is all I'm trying to say. Tadeo,
yes.
Are we seeing you as a permanent judge for the Who Would Win show?
I feel like this throne of judgehood. Can I change my license to JD? I feel like I'm like all licensed and fancy now.
But Are we all licensed? We're all licensed.
In some way.
What is a license?
But no, this is a permanent fixture in this universe that we create here.
I love it. I'm going to take that as a yes. I think that is great. We have an official judge who's staying with the Who Would Win show. Tadeo, this is a magnificent moment in the history of Who Would Win.
Beautiful.
This is amazing. Now, Tadeo, so you'll be back for our next episode, of course. But until then, tell Legion Vines, our fan base, where they can find you online.
Well, yes, you can find me at Cuerpazo. You know, please roll that R in respect for Cuerpazo. I like a triple roll. You can find me on Cuerpazo or as... Where earlier James stated, the mayor of Beverly Hills. It's a little bit better than LA, right? I keep things under control there. LA is a little chaotic.
Yeah, it is, not going to lie. But Beverly Hills is awesome. How do you spell your Instagram handle, by the way?
Cuerpaso. And thanks for that. Yep.
Very cool. All right, Eric, you came close to a victory. You did great, but just a little bit short. That's okay because you're coming back again. Tell Legion audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
Yes, they can find me on all my socials at the THE Eric with the C Holmes, HOLMES. Let's talk. Let's win.
The facial expressions you're giving off while you're saying that are a little...
I'm still pissed. Anyways, enough about me. How can they find you, James?
There you go. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gatz. You remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for our podcasts. On behalf of myself, Eric Holmes, and Tadeo and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time. Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.